This is Ozarks at Large. John Brummett is a columnist for the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. You can explore his political logic 4 days a week in print and online, and much more often on Twitter. Recently, Roby Brock from our content partner Talk Business Arkansas sat down with Brummett to discuss the upcoming legislative session, as well as the private option and its chances for survival in the upcoming fiscal session.
I want to pull a quote up here of something that you wrote in one of your columns earlier this week, because I love it when you put this type of language in here. It says, "Sigh. It's difficult to engage in constructive policy discussions when facts are mutilated to such an extent by those presenting to make policy."
Oh, my goodness.
John Brummett on January 22nd there. What are you frustrated about?
Well, in that case, I was frustrated with Senator Bart Hester from Northwest Arkansas, who had said in an email exchange with a constituent that the private option was just a ripoff at able-bodied people for able-bodied people who could work, as if everybody who got a job could get a full-time job that would pay for health insurance. And he's one of the absolute no's. That was sort of peripheral to the big discussion that you mentioned, which is the private option. Where is it? And I'll begin by saying this. Here's what most people say. It is too vital to the state's budget. It's too vital to the state's health care infrastructure for it not to get appropriated, but I don't know quite how we're going to get it done. That's sort of what people are saying. It's just surely it's going to happen, but we don't know how it's going to get done. We're one vote short in the Senate. The Jonesboro Senate race was about this issue, and it went the way of no private option. Senator Missy Irvin, because she's worried about the specialists getting cut and something else, so health savings accounts, she says she's a no. That's not three-fourths vote. So you can't say today how it's going to be done, but most people think somehow it will get done.
And I have talked to some legislative leadership in both chambers, and they actually feel that Senator Irvin's concerns can be addressed and will be addressed, and they think that there are some other members in the Senate that could be even persuaded once they see some of the facts and figures and some of the human element of what this private option can do. Do you think that they can actually turn a couple of no votes into yes votes?
It is possible. If some of the conservative action groups will stay silent, that some of the no votes could be persuaded that even if you're against the private option, even if you're against this program altogether, the fiscal session is for bookkeeping and re-upping. It's not for the policy discussion. We're getting ready to have a legislative races and a governor's race, and we'll know in the full policy session. There is some talk, you might pick up a couple of votes by persuading people that you see how when you defund things in midstream, how well that worked in Washington. Let's not do that here, particularly if say the Americans for Prosperity would not make a big deal of it. I'm not saying they wouldn't.
I don't think that's going to happen.
It's possible.
Because the other political dynamic that you have at work here is that probably about the time that vote's going to take place on private option funding renewal, filing period for political office is going to open and close in the state of Arkansas.
Right. But there are also some legislative leaders say there are conservative things we can put in this legislation. There's some talk, either in the Joint Budget Committee or starting in the Senate, to change the bill, to change this medical services fund, to put something in there, something that sounds good, that no state money would be expended to promote this program henceforth, that only the private insurers who are benefiting, Blue Cross, QualChoice, let them promote it, get the state out of the business. If you could get some headline that would make it appear more conservative, indeed, make it more conservative, you might pick up two or three. By the way, all of this is about the Senate. In the House, I'm told that if it gets there, they may start in the Senate and then go to the House. In the House, where they got 78 votes last time, could be 80 this time.
Yeah, I don't think it goes that high, but it could be.
Well, how do you think it goes?
I think it's 77, 78. I think a couple of them flipped, to be honest with you, because they got to sign up to run for re-election.
Well, there's that, but then, we'll see.
We'll know soon enough. But what you're talking about, too, in terms of changing that policy to garner that headline, it's going to have to be done in special language committee in joint budget or out of the budget committee there, because you're not going to find a bill introduced that's going to make some of these policy changes.
No, you don't change. You don't change the human services appropriation on the floor. You don't change. What you do is, you put some things in the bill that conservatives want, and you do it at 8 o'clock in the morning in special
when
language.
When there's no one around.
When you and I will be there, right? Right. I'll try to
be
there.
I'll trade days with you. How about that?
And then you concurrently make the case that, look, this was only set up as a fiscal session to make sure that everything's okay so that we can do an efficient budgeting year to year. This is not the policy time. You put those two things together, maybe do something for Missy on the, but that's up to Blue Cross, whether they cut the specialty. And then on the health savings accounts, get that waiver filed or on setting up health savings accounts within the private option population. That's sort of the way people are talking about getting it done. But even so, they're not sure just what they do, how they do it, and how it works. But that's the talk.
I sense kind of a throwback to the soft drink tax debate back in the early, mid-90s. Where I think you are going to have so many activists up at the Capitol representing all these different sides and trying to put this face on. I think you're going to see some conservative Tea Party activists that will be up there. I think that you'll see from the Human Services side, I think you're going to have to see people, kids that are disabled, elderly people that are benefiting from this private option and the program that it is. I think they're going to have to come make their argument.
You think we're going to see all that kind of theater in this fiscal session?
I think you may have to on this particular key vote. I think that you're going to have to. They're going to have to put that kind of political pressure on these guys.
Got to put a human face to somebody who wasn't able to afford a flu shot last year, but got it this year, and their kids got it this year. The kids would have gotten it before from Our Kids First, maybe. Mm-hmm. But that kind of thing. And UAMS is on the front page. You know, we can't continue to have the kind of medical center we've had because of the changing economy, and if we don't have this. Some of the Tea Party people who hang around full time with the legislature, they're going to be there. All of that is remarkable in a session that we didn't have until two or three years ago, and I still think we only have this fiscal-only session in off years because the voters didn't understand what they were doing, and yet we're going to have this kind of drama. I do think this idea that this is not the time to have this full-fledged policy debate when we're getting ready to select a governor, and we do that next year. I think there's some currency to that.
That's the strongest argument.
I think so.
Yeah.
I do.
All right. We've got about 60 seconds left here. Another quick couple of issues, because there's some other interesting funding issues that may come up in this fiscal session, too. We got prison funding. You mentioned UAMS.
Right.
You've got the University of Arkansas, which seems by weeks in to have patched up some of their differences. At least there's some vote of confidence from the board and current leadership up there, which is a little bit of a surprise. But this could be one of the more fascinating
people don't understand how expanding Medicaid saves the state money. We are transferring to the federal government full federal funding of an expanded Medicaid population. If we undo that, if we go back to old Medicaid, we're covering a very few people, and the state has to start matching that money. The governor's people put that at $89 million a year. If you don't re-up the private option, the governor's people say, now this, the figures will be disputed, the governor's people say, this budget has an $89 million hole in it, and what are they using it for? Do you remember we went on this prison kick because the parole abuse, and we had a horrible case in the streets of Little Rock, and we owe the county jails, and we need more prison money? We won't have that. In higher education, you all want any more money? So this will be a remarkable 4 or 5 days.
That was Roby Brought from our content partner, Talk Business Arkansas, speaking to John Brummett, a columnist for the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. You can find out more at talkbusiness.net. Support for Talk Business Arkansas on Ozarks at Large comes from Bank of the Ozarks, committed to helping business owners succeed by combining the tools and services businesses need with accessible experience and knowledge. More information at bankozarks.com.
The Electric Cooperatives of Arkansas. Diversity is the key to reliability and affordability. From the state's largest industrial user to a home at the end of a long country road, the Electric Cooperatives of Arkansas serve members with a stable supply of electricity backed up with fuel diversity. Coal, oil, natural gas, hydropower, and renewables. More at AECC.com. And Mitchell Williams Law, providing diverse professional experience to clients across the U.S. Mitchell Williams Law Firm employs nearly 80 attorneys at offices in Arkansas, Texas, and New York. Online at MitchellWilliamsLaw.com.